When the Democratic National Committee randomized debate stage lineups, they did so hoping to avoid one night featuring high-profile candidates and another of those looking to join the top tier. With so many candidates getting their first chance at the spotlight the past two nights on stage in Miami, airtime became precious currency for the likes of Washington Governor Jay Inslee.
It should not be an option in the United States of America for any insurance company to deny woman coverage for their exercise of their right of choice.
More on the spotlight fight from Chelsea Janes, reporter at the Washington Post. Chelsea, what's up here?
You know, despite the DNC's efforts to sort of keep these two nights, even in terms of, you know, the profile of the people involved, you ended up with, you know, a group of people that were by and large polling lower on the first night, which meant that a lot of those people were, A, trying to introduce themselves, to voters really for the first time, and B, just sort of desperate for whatever time they could get. So, you know, we saw, you know, Mayor de Blasio talking over people, Congressman Delaney, and then it sort of went from there. But it was a night where a lot of people were desperate to get some airtime and had to get a little bit creative in terms of how they were going to get it.
You wrote that some candidates' messages were highlighted by their antics and some were obscured. What were some examples of both?
You know, I think while Mayor de Blasio's campaign has not been received particularly kindly by the New York media and others, he was sort of effective in at least conveying the message that he believes that Democrats sort of have to, you know, really lean in on bold ideas and return the party to one that working people can believe in. That's a fairly common refrain among these candidates, but it was one that he sort of seized and made his own and reiterated every time he took, you know, time or was given time, as the case may have been. I think Julian Castro, who didn't so much engage in antics as much as tried to make immigration his issue, you know, as a former mayor of San Antonio, someone who you know, works intimately on these issues, he really, you know, challenged other people in the field to kind of take the steps that he has on immigration, to decriminalize crossing the border, and even, you know, went so far as to try to pinpoint his fellow Texan, Beto O'Rourke, on that issue. So, you know, there were different ways of doing it, but I do think de Blasio and Castro were two that were able to kind of slice through the noise, albeit in you know, fairly different ways.
Was anyone hurt by that?
You know, I think one person who came off, unsuccessfully was Tim Ryan. He got into sort of a heated exchange with Tulsi Gabbard in which he basically said that, was arguing that Americans needed to maintain a presence in Afghanistan. Gabbard, a veteran of the Iraq War, you know, said that was an unacceptable answer, and Ryan defended that stance by saying, you know, when left their own devices over there, they flew planes into our buildings, and Gabbard quickly corrected him that it was not, you know, the Taliban who they've been talking about, but rather Al Qaeda who staged 9/11 attacks, and you know that sort of left Ryan on his heels a little bit. His campaign later clarified that he, you know, meant that the Taliban were complicit and all this. But in the moment, it certainly was one of those gaffes that kind of sticks out in your mind. And while he's sort of a big presence, you know, big voice, does have a little bit of a unique Midwestern message, I think that it probably got lost there as he tried to engage with Gabbard.
We're speaking with Chelsea Janes, reporter at the Washington Post. She's got a piece entitled "Lesser Known Candidates Claw for the Spotlight in Democratic Debate." What are some of these candidates going to be doing between now and the next debate so people don't forget about them?
That's a great question. I think a lot of them are just going to try to make sure that, they're in a position that the next debate won't be their last. You know, I do think there are some candidates who are going to be on that precipice. De Blasio is still very early in his campaign, but you could see, you know, if things don't pick up drastically from here, that he might be in that position. John Delaney has self-funded his campaign, hasn't made any indications that he would, you know, drop out anytime soon. But again, if you don't meet these requirements for the September debates, these double polling requirements and donor requirements, it's going to be really tough to keep getting your message out there, you know, even tougher than it already is. So I think, you know, between now and July and in those July opportunities, some of these candidates that we saw, Eric Swalwell among them, are going to have to sort of continue to try to get that attention and get their donors up and just kind of stay around so that they can get these brief moments of airtime.
Don't you think it helps to be doing well on social media as well?
It really does. And I think we saw other candidates take advantage of that, too. You know, like Marianne Williamson joked after watching Beto and Booker and Castro, you know, all dip into Spanish, that she was going to have to learn Spanish by tonight. And that was a well-received tweet. So, you know, I do think that the size of the field makes it imperative that you find ways to get attention on every platform, like you say. And so you have candidates live tweeting, you have, you know, people trying to joke and separate themselves that way. So it's definitely something to watch and will be really interesting tonight, too, to see how these candidates who are not on the stage, who got their chance last night, will, you know, try to insert themselves in that conversation via social media.
Here's Chelsea Janes, reporter at The Washington Post.
Thanks for listening. And for more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.